Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to Boiler Up Down South. This is the post-Iowa Depression edition. I am Drew Schneider, and my buddy is Garrett Shearman.
I don't know if I feel like Garrett Shearman after watching that game.
Garrett is the most metal man in the Purdue blogosphere, and don't let him tell you different. Garrett, that was a rough one on Saturday. Not only did we have to watch terrible football, but other good football was going on at the same time.
Well, I mean, you can't really watch any team play Iowa and expect anything that's very exciting.
It's true. It's true. Well, we're going to take a quick break and pay our bills. And after the break, we will get into the game. So, see you in a minute.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And welcome back to Boiler Up Down South. So we are just going to delve right into this Iowa fiasco, I will say. As Drew drinks his icy water.
Sorry.
Yeah, how dare you stay hydrated, Drewski. I will say, I was close in the fact that I predicted it was going to be a one-score game, and I was kind of unsure how it was going to be a one-score game. And it just so happened that we did not turn out on top.
No. Wrong side of that one-score game.
And, Drew, I'm going to lead you into this one and just say, like, how was the first quarter a mastermind blueprint of how to lose a football game to Iowa?
Well, thank you for asking, Garrett. I just wrote an article about that. just Purdue's first three drives made it into Iowa territory, and they came away with no points. And that's how you lose to Iowa. You lose to Iowa because you don't take care of your opportunities. And there were opportunities in that first quarter that Purdue just did not, for multitudes of reasons, cash in on. And you look past the first quarter and Purdue wins the game. You know, if Purdue and Iowa are even in the first quarter, Purdue wins the rest of the game. Obviously, that did not happen. And Purdue started the game 10 points back and couldn't close the gap. So, I don't know, Garrett. It was tough to watch. Every drive, it seemed like, was ended by a new, like, catastrophe.
Well, see, and here's the thing, is that, like, if I read these stats off to you, that Purdue had 21 first downs compared to Iowa's 12. Third down efficiency, Purdue went 9 for 19. You know, I'll take slightly below 50%. And Iowa was 3 for 13. And you look at the passing, Purdue was 25 for 40. Sure, there were some interceptions, but Iowa was 6 for 21. 6 for 21. Allow me to repeat that a third time, 6 for 21.
Hey, Garrett, do you know how many wide receivers caught passes for Iowa?
I'm going to guess a whopping 2.
0.
Are you kidding? It was all?
The tight end?
It was all.
5 receptions, and their running back had a catch.
Catches out of the backfield. So 0 wide receivers caught passes for Iowa. Just going further down some of these ridiculous statistics, like the possession battle, I said this last week, like, I was one of the very few teams that isn't just, like, one of the historically great defenses in college football history that can handily lose a time of possession battle and still control the game. And Purdue had 35 minutes and 28 seconds of possession compared to Iowa's 24 minutes and 28 seconds. So, 32 seconds. And you look at that on paper against any other team but Iowa, and it's like, okay, yeah, our team just won. Nope, you're playing Iowa. Different story.
Now, one stat, Garrett, that really went against the Boilermakers on Saturday was Iowa getting 6 sacks. Can you tell everybody, do you remember how many sacks did Iowa have going into this game total?
Iowa had 3 sacks entering the 5th game of the season.
So is that like 150%? I don't know. I'm not a math person.
Iowa had 3 sacks going into this game and doubled their season total against the Boilermakers.
I mean, doubled it twice, right? No.
Doubled it twice? Quadrupled it?
No. Wait, 6. Yes. 6 sacks, though, Garrett. What happened? Why did Carson Hudson-Card continuously hold on to the ball in the first quarter?
Well, there was that one really cool play where he shrugged off contact and then threw it all the way down to Burks at the end of the half.
That's true.
And then we were sitting there like, oh, okay, all right, 7-10 at the half. Like, I'd take this against an Iowa team.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah. Once again, my eyes. It's just, I don't understand. Card had a really bad first quarter. And it was, that kind of sunk Purdue. I just felt like on each drive at the in that first quarter, when Purdue got into scoring position, he had like a weird, like, didn't make the first throw, but instead of tucking it and running, he tried to like back out of it and keep it, the, you know, pass play alive. He did that a couple times. I almost wonder if he was a little more banged up than we were led to believe.
Yeah, especially in the first quarter, he did take a couple more big licks as well.
Yeah, no, he on that after that interception where he kind of got straight up blocked in the back, that was not called. But he took a while to get up. I didn't know if he was going to be able to finish the game. It felt like as the game wore on, he took longer and longer to, like, peel himself off the turf. And, I mean, he got sacked 6 times, took some other, you know, near sack, big hits. Like he said, though, some of that was his own doing, not getting rid of the ball. And some of it was, you know, the poorest offensive line, which only got worse. As Marcus Imbo, Purdue's right tackle, went out with a... I didn't see the injury. He was pretty nasty. He's done for the year. So that's no bueno. He was one of the guys that Purdue could kind of not afford to lose. And so we'll have some new right tackles. And the offensive line at its best was not great. What were some of the highlights of this game for Purdue? It wasn't all bad. Eric All was bad for Purdue, but other than that, it wasn't all bad.
Hardy, hardy, hard. Yeah, no, I mean, I will say, like, when Hudson Card had that play where he just kind of shrugged his shoulders and moved to the right of the pocket to extend the play, and right at the end of the half gets it to TJ Sheffield, it shows what Purdue really is capable of doing. It's just not consistent. And this, offense has really tried hard to find their identity, but it seems like that identity is starting to shift from week to week, and now we're halfway through the season, regular season, and you gotta wonder what this team's ceiling is at this point.
Yeah, and you know, obviously it didn't help. Tyrone Tracy got hot against Illinois and was injured in this game. It sounds like it's going to be a stretch if he's going to be back for Ohio State. Just another thing that happened in this game. See, TJ Sheffield, really came into his own. One of the better games he's had, I think, in the Purdue uniform. That long pass where he sort of weaved down the sideline at the end of the half to make it 10-7. He had a really nice punt return in the first quarter that set Purdue up that we didn't take advantage of. So 6 receptions for 93 yards. So a good game for TJ. Good to see Garrett Miller back and active. 8 receptions, 71 yards. Burks could not get free. And that's, again, sort of Iowa's playmakers making plays. Burke was sort of stalked around the field by Iowa star cornerback Cooper DeJean, and there were some plays to be made. Burke just got his hand on a couple of deep passes and just couldn't haul them in. And DeJean picked off a pass that was intended for Burke. I still don't know what happened on that play. I don't know if Card was throwing the receiver in the wrong route, Card threw the wrong route, or just slipped out of his hand wrong. But threw it right to Dijon, who took it down and got Iowa to the five. Luckily, Iowa is inept on offense and ended up having to kick a field goal from the nine. You know, Iowa's playmakers made plays, and Purdue's just didn't. Again, you just kind of have to stretch to find, like, Carr didn't really play well. Maccabee was okay, right? 20 carries, 89 yards, a touchdown. But nothing big. That was all sort of fits and starts. He did put the ball on the ground again, but it was recovered. So, I guess no harm, no foul. Although he should really probably stop doing that.
Yeah.
And now that it sounds like Tracy's going to be out, you're going to be probably getting a little heavier dose of Maccabee, especially against that Ohio State pass rush coming up. So, hopefully Devin straps his chin strap on extra tight this week, because I think he's going to get some action coming up. But against Iowa, he was okay. Nothing spectacular. Did have a touchdown late in the game that got Purdue close. So that was, you know, good. But didn't really, I felt like, make a real big mark on the game. What's your thought on that, Garrett?
I mean, it's just the fact that Purdue had under 100 yards rushing in general, and the fact that 89 of those were from one guy. It's kind of concerning knowing that you are now down one guy with Tracy not looking great injury-wise. So, I don't know. I don't know how they're going to balance out Downing and Maccabee at this point, especially going into such a daunting game like Ohio State. At least it's at home, but I think we know what the result's going to be. I think you really have to get conservative with Maccabee and tell him to get down as soon as he can get down if he's going to be the main featured back in the absence of Tyrone Tracy.
And I did see some of that all Saturday where I felt like he was making a concerted effort to get two hands on the ball and get down. But yeah, I mean, I totally agree. He's going to have to rein in some of that. It's tough because it's kind of the thing that makes him who he is.
That's his style of play. I mean, we call him Crazy Legs lovingly for a reason, you know?
Right, like he's sort of, but he's needs to maybe be more judicious, and when he breaks it out. What really kind of concerns me also moving forward there, Garrett, is Hudson Card is running the ball. I felt like at the beginning of the year, that was something we thought that maybe Purdue would feature more. You know, 8 carries, negative 40 yards.
Yeah.
Long of 6. I just didn't feel like he wanted to run. I felt like there were opportunities for him to run, and he would choose to run backwards. And I don't know if that was just because there was, you know, nothing he liked in front of him, or because he just didn't want to get hit because he's, you know, injured, which I think, again, I think it was like a shoulder thing going on.
Yeah, it was his non-throwing shoulder, but it was his left shoulder for sure.
And man, those things hurt.
Yeah, they're not fun.
Not fun. So, I mean, I understand him not wanting to go take a bunch of hits on an injured shoulder. We really need him to be a difference maker, I feel like, as a dual threat. And if the run part of his game's not there, like it was not against Iowa, I think the passing part of his game suffers a little bit. Because I think he tries to force things in the passing game when he gets past maybe that second read and gets flushed out of the pocket. That's where I think I've seen him make the most mistakes, and I kind of wanted him to just tuck the ball and get what he can get instead of trying to make so many plays out on the perimeter where he's, you know, got a Iowa defensive end hanging on him, and he's trying to beat him to the corner while trying to throw the out route. and you know, throws an interception. He really needs to step it up. I feel like this was definitely his worst performance. Like you said, he did have a couple really nice flashy plays, but the consistency, he needs to, you know, get started quick, because you know, just a bad quarter like he had in the first quarter really put Purdue behind the rest of the game.
Yeah, like if you're down 10-0 to Iowa in the first quarter, that's like being down 21-0 to most other teams. And I don't know, man. I feel like with Card, he, like, okay, if he has the time to scramble, he's got these shifty wide receivers who are capable of getting like a little bit of space and getting open. But Purdue's wide receiving core is, by and large, no anti pun intended, by and large, pretty small. And that actually like kind of affects like how confident he feels when he's going to run, because he doesn't feel like his wide receivers can adequately block for him if he does have kind of a lane. And you know, when your three best receivers, not including tight ends, when your three best receivers are all like in the 5'10", 5'11" ballpark, you know, you're not going to trust them if they're blocking a 6'1", 200-pound corner. So, I don't know, do you feel like that factors into it at all, especially because he's taking some big old hits now?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he is hesitant to run, and I'm not sure if that's by design or, like, you know, like we said, just not wanting to keep taking those hits, either just not trusting the blocking, or, you know, just, again, carrying an injury. But I really do feel like Purdue needs him to be a dual threat moving forward. They may need him to be a superhero, a actual superhero.
Yeah, I think it's getting to the point where if you want to consider bowl eligibility, you kind of got to let your quarterback with, unfortunately, like not much depth behind him, to kind of play some hero ball. It wouldn't be the end of the world in a first-year head coach's, first season, you know, being 5-7, missing a bowl game. But it's just weird when you see these flashes of brilliance and then they don't show up again.
Yeah, and again, that's sort of been our frustration the entire season, is like you see that they have potential. This isn't like an all bad team where you're just like, oh, these guys are trash. Because like trash teams don't go on like these drives that they're capable of putting together. And Purdue's defense, you know, was exceptional outside of just a few key plays. Again, like the first quarter, it was three and outs for Iowa other than a 70-yard touchdown run, because three people went to follow the tight end and left the middle of the field wide open. You know, Caleb Johnson had 70 yards on that carry and 134 for the game. So the defense showed up, played well. Again, Iowa only completed 6 passes, but, you know, 5 of them to the tight end, who everybody knew coming into the game, that's the guy. Couldn't cover him, even though they're literally not throwing it to anybody else. So that was a little disappointing. But, you know, again, 20 points should be enough to win, especially considering the field position this Purdue offense found itself in for the majority of that first quarter and really the whole first half. But in other terrible news, via the press conference, it sounds like the Boilers are just leaking players now. As I mentioned, Imbo looks to be out for the year. Same for our boy Max Klar. Very sad. Young freshman was looking good out there. Tyrone Tracy looks to be questionable at best for the Ohio State game. There's a couple other big injuries. Marquise Brown, the cornerback, Purdue's number one corner, is also probably out for the year. So Purdue is went from having like 1.5 cornerbacks to like a half. That's going to be an issue moving forward to that depth there. Garrett, do you have anything positive to say? We need some more uplifting stuff.
Again, I mean, Purdue's just has run into some bad luck, especially in this past week, for a game that was still within 6 points, you know, still one possession game. Purdue's had some bad luck. I went like full street preacher mode and said, don't give up on Ryan Walters a couple weeks ago, but I really do like where this team is going on both sides of the ball. I think special teams is kind of just up in the air, especially because Freehill's still out. But, you know, man, this is a hard hand of cards to be dealt in your first year as a head coach anywhere. I like where Walters is taking this. And, again, offensively, when things really click, they really, really, really click. And defensively, I think he's just dealing with a lot of turnover just in the actual players. Not even the staff, because he brought in his own staff, obviously. But just don't give up on Walters. Just don't. It's year one, and it's his first year as a head coach, and they saw potential in him for a reason.
And if you're listening to this and thinking, did he say Marquise Brown? Marquise Brown. I just wanted to sort of clarify that. So anyways, Garrett, let's go ahead and wrap this up. I'm tired of talking about sad things after that big Braves win tonight.
Yeah, we got distracted watching that, so we're recording this like 2 hours later than we had planned because the Atlanta Braves decided to do something good after doing a bunch of things really bad.
Yes, go Braves. Barving.
We're not the people who do tomahawk chops, though.
So. We're not those people.
We're not those.
No. And so, anyways, let's go ahead. Just moving forward, what are our thoughts here, Garrett?
Again, just like be patient with this new team and new staff, and I don't think you're gonna see like even in the now that we're halfway through the season, which feels weird to say, I don't think you're gonna see too much staff turnover this year unless Walters fires somebody. So I really do have faith in Ryan Walters. Like I watched a lot of what he's done at his various stops. And again, he coached at Mizzou. He was their defensive coordinator for a while. And I graduated from Georgia, who was also in the SEC East with Mizzou. So I was already pretty familiar with him anyway. Watched a lot of film on him. He knows what he's doing. He's just kind of been dealt a not so great hand this year.
Yes, and I will say, you know, I do think he needs to find a way to keep this Ohio State game respectable.
Respectable.
But, and I don't know if there is a way to do that, considering the current state of the injuries on the roster. But hopefully he can figure out a way to get into that bye week, get some things shuffled around, maybe find some solutions on the offensive line if there are any, figure out what to do. At corner and sort of move forward to the second half of the season, at least with a revised game plan. We will be back on, I believe, Friday to talk about the Purdue versus Ohio State game. Beware Buckeyes of the mighty Boilermakers.
At least it's at home.
That's right. A big noon game. Fear the Spoilermakers. It's time.
That would be a really fun one.
It would be a fun one.
I love speaking in hypotheticals when the season's already like, darn, we thought we were going to be 4-2, but we're 2-4.
But hey.
Hey!
Ohio State win would make a lot of things better. I don't think it's going to happen in this current plane of existence, but maybe somebody out there in a different plane will experience that. Anyways, Garrett. Let's take it over tonight.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for sitting through. I know it's not fun to talk about losing a low-scoring game against Iowa, but as always, you know, y'all come back now, you hear?